Chapter 2. Back in England. Anne and I returned to Hever Castle as young women. I was happy to be home, but Anne was bored. There were no young people at Hever Castle because her brother George was at court. Mary and her husband William Carey were also at court. Mary was a lady-in-waiting to Queen Catherine. On our first night at home, Anne and her father argued. I was arranging her hair when her father came into the room. "Daughter, can you guess why I sent for you? It's time for you to get married. King Henry wants a marriage between you and James Butler in Ireland." "Who is James Butler?" she asked. "And why should I marry him?" "James Butler is your cousin," he explained. "There is a disagreement between his side of the family and ours. They say our land in Ireland belongs to them. King Henry wants peace in our family. If you marry their son, the land will belong to us all."
"Really? Mary and George are at court and you want to send me to Ireland to marry a stranger?" shouted Anne. "I won't marry James Butler. I will only marry for love."
"Love? Is love some new French idea?" Thomas Boleyn declared angrily. "Love is for poets or fools. It has nothing to do with marriage."
"You'll marry James Butler because the king wants this, and I taught you to be obedient."
"Sir, you cannot force me to marry him," replied Anne. "Tell me, did you force my sister to marry William Carey?"
"No, Mary is an obedient girl," her father answered, "and you will also be obedient."
Sir Thomas left the room, and then Anne saw me listening.
"Listening to every word again, Meg," she shouted. "Go, girl, bring me my cards."
I ran to get her cards. I returned a few minutes later, and she was looking through the window.
"Meg, 1 week ago I was playing cards with Queen Claude. Today I am playing cards with you," she said quietly. "And if I behave like a good girl, I'll soon be in some horrible castle in Ireland. It's not fair. I don't want to live in Ireland. I want to marry for love."
I was silent. Anne wasn't really talking to me. She was just thinking aloud. Then, through the window, I saw a group of soldiers arrive at the castle.
"Look, Mistress Anne, we've got visitors," I said.
Anne didn't move, but I could see she was curious about the visitors. That night there was music and dancing in the great hall. Anne played the lute and sang for the visitors. She came upstairs late and she was very excited.
"I've got very good news, Meg," she told me. "I'm not going to Ireland and I'm not marrying James Butler. In 2 weeks' time, Father is returning to court and we will go later. I'm going to be lady-in-waiting to the Queen. I can't believe it. In 2 weeks' time, we'll be at court with Queen Catherine."
So Anne escaped an unhappy marriage to James Butler. I never understood how she did this. Obviously, her destiny was for greater and better things. We left for court on a cold and snowy day. I travelled in a carriage with our clothing, while Anne was on a brown horse, her long black hair flying in the wind. We arrived late in the evening. Mistress Mary, Anne's sister, was waiting for us in the Queen's apartments. The gentle blonde girl was now a beautiful woman, wearing a beautiful diamond necklace. The sisters hugged.
"Anne, you are very elegant now," exclaimed Mary. "You look like a Frenchwoman."
"Sister, let me look at you. In your diamond necklace, you look like a princess. Your husband must be a generous man," said Anne.
Mary's face became red.
"Sister Anne, we are all doing very well," she said.
Anne and I looked at each other. We both knew that diamond necklaces were presents from kings. This was clearly not a present from Mary's husband.